Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and we're back from our Las Vegas trip, and we'll be talking about that today. So welcome to episode 53, Uptown Funk, Downtown Grand. All right. Hey, I want to say hello to our digital audience. They're back, and they're crazier than ever. And I like these people because they don't make a mess in the studio. All right. Keep it up, digital audience. And while I try to get them settled down a little bit, we'll be coming right back for our December 6th, 2018 podcast. Hey, and we're not going to tell you how to gamble. We're going to tell you how we gambled. There's a big difference. You might do it better than we do, but we'll share what we did. And we'll share the experiences that we had. Really excited about what we can give you today. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
So we have some vignettes and some ancillary evidence, I'd call it. To share with you, we stayed 8 November nights, which was really Thanksgiving week, on the Las Vegas Strip. And we also spent on that last day, the day before we flew home, rather, 6 to 8 hours on or near Fremont Street. And we'll talk about what we accomplished there, which was substantial. But, you know, those of you that are thinking, like, why go to Las Vegas in November? I want to just say flat out, there's many advantages to going to Las Vegas during the cooler months, and none probably is more important than this one, the room prices. And if you get comps, you're going to find that you'll get more comps in November and December. Nah, that excludes New Year's Eve, of course, than maybe any other time of the year. Well, January, February, you might come just as close. But it's those cooler months where, you know, with exception here or there for certain weekends, the crowds are not as strong as they were. And you know, this idea that if you go out in July and it's 110, 112 degrees, it's tough to travel, even walk up and down the strip. I don't care how tough you are, Navy SEAL, it's not that nice to do. And even in swimming pools, you have to be careful of getting sun poisoning. You know, you have to be smart with that. And our temperature was somewhere between 63 to 68, 69 degrees every day and sunny. How can you beat that? But one of the challenges, obviously, is to stay at a nice hotel with a great room for as little cost as you can. And I had mentioned last podcast, I believe, we went through Total Rewards and M Life. And Total Rewards is Caesars Entertainment Company, and M Life is MGM International. And I don't know, you might disagree, but I think they comp you pretty well if you are a regular player in one of their many casinos. So we discovered that Bally's, which is Total Rewards, would give us 4 days, and we used those 4 days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then to our surprise, M Life gave us the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We flew home Tuesday morning. So not a cent did we pay. And I ran into someone out there that told me that the Tropicana, which is Marquis Penn National, I think they're joined at the hip, is now charging their comp players the daily resort fee, so that might be coming our way with Total Rewards and M Life. I'm not sure about that, but for the time being, I didn't pay anything at Total Rewards. They even gave me early check-in, which I'll talk about shortly. M Life we stayed at the Luxor, an elite room in the tower, upgraded room, so nice. We did have to pay $30 for early check-in, but I'll tell you why I think that's well worth it. Let's go back to the check-in at Bally's. You know, this is fun today. So we get in there. We had gone to the Peppermill restaurant from the airport with the crew, and Jane and I paid the bill. That wasn't too bad. there was, let's see, the two of us and then four others. So the bill came to $85, and it was all about breakfast. And the Pepper Mill is down the strip, and it's an iconic restaurant. And I enjoyed it. The servings, not only is the food good, they just give you so much. You know, it's just amazing what Vegas does sometimes with the amount of food that they give you. But that's how we started. And then after breakfast, we were dropped off at our hotel, and everybody else scattered to the winds. And we went into Bally's, and I would say it was sometime around 12:30, quarter to one. And there was a line in there already. Again, this is Monday, early afternoon, or, you know, barely past noon. There's a line of 50, 60 people. And, you know, there's somebody standing there wearing a card, you know how that is. And I said, well, where's the early check-in? And the young lady says, well, use one of those three early check-in machines, you know, sort of a concierge-type machine. You know, I said, whoa, okay. And I had never done that at Bally's before, even though I had used early check-in. It was always a line you went to, much shorter than the regular line. So I went over, and it says, tap me. So I tapped the machine, and bonk, and it comes up, enter your confirmation number, which I had in my phone notes. And that's something I want to remind everybody to put in if you have an iPhone or, you know, something you can record notes on, any kind of phone. So I had put on my Bally's confirmation number and our Luxor confirmation number for later. So I had it right there. So I typed it in and put next. Okay, next, bang. It says, welcome, Dawn. Didn't use Coach Fab. It said, welcome, Dawn, to Bally's. And it said, now we must ask you to truly identify yourself. And this is where it takes a little courage. You have to put your driver's license in this slot. And you're thinking, I hope this damn thing comes back or I'll never get back on the plane. So anyway, we did. And it said, all right, you're verified. And the cards comes right back out the slot, sort of like an ATM thing. It comes right out the slot. And then it said, and this is your room. And there's a picture of the room. And it looks nice. You know, it's what we wanted, a Jubilee Tower. And we wanted the tower to have our room tower to have a refrigerator, a safe, and, you know, newly decorated, that kind of thing. That's what we were promised. So that's what it looked like. Next button said, how many card keys do you want? And we pushed two, and they get printed out pretty cool. And it said, you're on the way. Well, we had checked our luggage when we got to the front door at Bally's, and it said, just call down to the bell station if you had checked your luggage, and we promise you they'll get up there within 15 minutes. And I thought, wow, we'll see about that, you know. So nonetheless, we go up to the room, and it's just what like they said. It's very nice, and it has a strip view looking down also on the Grand Bazaar shops outside Bally's, and you could see across. We're right on the corner of the building. You can see across the strip as well. So that was true. There was a safe. There was a nice fridge. Room looked nice and clean, newly decorated. I don't want to say remodeled, but, you know, newly decorated, painted, etc., that kind of thing. So we were in good shape. But boy, oh boy, if I didn't pay for early check-in because of the comp, and I was kind of surprised about that, but I sure as hell would if I had to. Because I'm not the kind of person that wants to start my Vegas vacation by standing in line an hour or an hour 20 to check in. You know what I mean? That's not going to put me in the right frame of mind. So it's 1:10 maybe. And before 15 minutes, the phone rings and Janie picks up and it says, this is the bell captain. Want to make sure you're in your room or bringing up your luggage right now. So bang, it was right there. Signed, sealed, and delivered, just like they promise. Total Rewards, Caesars Entertainment, thank you. So we had a coffee service in our room, and we decided to make a cup of coffee. So, you know, the more caffeine, the better, right? So we said, look, let's not go down to Ellis Island right now. We can go down a little bit. Let's take a look around Bally's and do some playing here. So that's what we did, and I don't know what Janie, where she played, etc., but I don't think she was real happy. I don't think she was winning. But I happened to hit a hot table. In total transparency, the table, I was not the dice thrower, you know, I wasn't, but I was playing 3-2-1 craps, you know, hey, I don't want to lose all my money that I brought. So 3-2-1 craps basically is if the, it's a $10 table, but if it was a 6 or an 8, the established point, I put $15 on it. If it was, make that 2, a 5 or a 9, I put $10 behind it. And also, if it was a 4 or 10, I usually would just put 1. That's why I call it 3-2-1 craps. But they wouldn't let me do that. I tried it, and they said, no, you have to have a $10 odds bet minimum. So I put $10 there. Well, I hit a hot shooter, and I don't know, 360, something like that, came away from the table. And I did shoot. I think I made 2 or 3 points, but nothing like the guy that got me started. So once I made my 2 or 3 points and sevened out, I looked around, found Janie, and I said, well, let's go down to Ellis Island, and we can have dinner, and we can get involved, you know, with this right now. And she said, oh, I've been waiting for that, you know. So that's what we did. But, boy, the first thing I want to share with you, when you come through the Bally doors, since last February was our last time at Bally's, there's a new lobby bar. And the decor is fine. You may not like the decor. I think it's cool, but it's so big. That was the thing that impressed me. The lobby bar is so big. So, you know, it's a nice place to meet. If you're with other people, or people are coming to Bally's to meet you, It's a nice place to unwind. I have pictures on it on our Facebook. That's Casinos USA, written as 2 words. Join that group. All kind of photos. But kudos to Bally's for putting in that lobby bar. Very nice. And so my sweetie gathers me, and we're out the side door. Beautiful, sunshiny afternoon. On our way to Ellis Island, one of our favorite haunts. And we have a kind of a cool... Not only did we have Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisors steak coupon, we also have, believe it or not, this is true, when you join Las Vegas Advisor at Ellis Island, the coupon for Ellis Island, 3 rounds of drinks for 2. I thought, oh, buddy, this is great. This is going to be good. So I have to tell you, my steak was a little disappointing. I rave about the steaks at Ellis Island for this price, but I guess there's an inconsistency always with steakhouses too. But it was just nothing past mediocre. You know, everything else on the plate was great, but the steak, a little tough, and I had it done medium, so I'm not going to rant and rave about it. There were other things on the menu I wish I had ordered, and you know, still gotten a discount. But I didn't. But anyway, what happens next? I'm going to bring my sweetie in to tell you how she did at Ellis Island. And it's forever cemented. Like, she just wins and wins there. And actually, I found a video poker machine at the bar that I liked. And within a few minutes, I hit 4-9. So it was a great start to the Las Vegas vacation, especially after that craps game at Bally's. But here's Janie. She's going to talk about Ellis Island. So, hey, Janie, like, what's the scoop with you and Ellis Island? Like, every time we go there, you win money.
I have a good vibe there, that's all. I've always won there. And everybody, I think, in the area knows that it's a local's favorite, and it is because their slots are usually pretty good. However, we first got there, I wasn't having such good luck. Last time, I had such a great poker machine. I think I won on almost every hand. I had people waiting to play that machine, waiting for me to quit. I didn't have any luck this time, and I played 2 different machines. So I thought, uh-oh, what's up on this one? So I went around and started hitting in some, playing some other slots, and, you know, I'd play a little bit, win a little bit, you know, on and off. Nothing amazing or that much fun. So I did find a couple new machines, and, you know, I can't even remember the names of them now. I should have put it Yeah, but there's so many machines out there, and you walk through so many big casinos with so many machines that, and Ellis Island isn't that big, but they had almost all new machines there. And I wanted one that was very large and had great graphics and very bright. And so I sat down, and in just a few minutes, I had an $85 hit, and I had a $35 hit. You know, I made up any money that I had lost, and so I was ahead. I had a good time doing that. Plus, we had the free three rounds of free drinks while we were there. But also, I wanted to mention our hostess there in the rewards booth. Her name is Narcy, N-A-R-C-Y. Instead of Nancy with an N, it's Narcy with an R. Really pleasant, really helpful. She said to me, you know, if you play X amount, get X amount of points in slots today, you know, you could win a pumpkin pie and some snacks. There's all kind of things we have today, even for Steeler fans, because I had one of my Steeler shirts on. Whatever, it didn't seem like a high number of points at all, but I guess it was because of the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. So, sure enough, I did win. I won in that. I had the qualifying points. I won a pumpkin pie from a good bakery there. We got snacks for the room. We got Fritos, chips, cookies, and we also got another couple rounds of drinks, whatever you wanted. And later we used those in the, I think we used them for dinner, and also later in the evening in the lounge they were having a group play. So we said, let's try this. Let's, you know, let's see what it's like. I thought they were going to be all country, twangy kind of music, which I didn't want to stay in here, but they were great. They played every decade, I believe. Very talented musicians. They gave us their backgrounds. So I think we stayed at least an hour and a half there after we had our dinner, after we'd played the games.
I wanted to mention, you know, sometimes songs of the past stay with you, but sometimes they fade away. And my freshman year at Notre Dame, I was in a triple, and one of my roommates was from Iowa, and he was a country music guy. And being from the Pittsburgh area, you know, we were not into country music. And anyway, he sang this song all the time, "Living on Tulsa Time." I think it's called just "Tulsa Time." Doggone it, this group, Jenny, they play this song, and it just comes back to me, like, and I could sing along with it, you know. So, hey, Carl, wherever you are, man, I was thinking about you at Ellis Island, listening to "Tulsa Time."
Yeah, and I've had to hear it the whole way home and ever since then. So I'd like to click it off at the moment. The group did do a good job with it. And there were some songs that they did that we enjoyed, and they had a following of their people that came to Ellis to watch them. So I did tell you last time that we were going to keep tabs on what we spend for food and...
And coffee, Starbucks.
Well, Starbucks, yeah. One of my, you know, our big haunts. And as I said, everywhere we stay has one, if not two, Starbucks available to us. So we left on the ninth day, the ninth morning. We stayed eight nights. We have all the receipts here. We spent $431.71 on food. Now, that included the Starbucks.
Would you repeat that? No, it didn't include the Starbucks.
Oh, it didn't include it. Oh, you did it separately. I thought you included it.
So what's the food one again?
$431.71.
Okay, do you want to explain why it's not so high?
Well, Thanksgiving's in there. And, of course, my daughter had us over there, and we went over early there. We went for appetizers and hors d'oeuvres, which was kind of a late early lunch, really, because we knew we'd be having the big meal later. And we were there all day and evening, so that took care of Thanksgiving. And also, we were celebrating an anniversary. Had us to a big dinner on Sunday at a local restaurant called Nora's, Italian cuisine, and it was wonderful. We had our own private room. I think there were the nine of us there, and so we had that meal there.
I want to just mention Nora's. It's an Italian restaurant. And the motif, you just think you're right back in the Godfather movies. You know, you're looking for Don Corleone to come in and say, "Happy anniversary."
Right. In fact, he quoted lines from The Godfather the whole night at the table, so much so that our 10-year-old grandson wants to see the movie just to see what Pap was referring to. He was acting like The Godfather, too. But it was very nice. So, obviously, we ate at her house, too, and we had a refrigerator in our room, so we were able to take leftovers that didn't have to be reheated, you know, sandwiches and different snacks were able to have.
But there's still another reason our price was, you know, $430.
Well, what's the Starbucks total?
It was $60 for Starbucks.
Oh, okay, and Starbucks for all those days was $60. Now, I might mention, too, that I always take gift cards. I had $150 in Starbucks gift cards that I bought ahead of time because I get gas points at Giant Eagle for buying those. So we use those instead of just worrying about the cash. Because, as I said, when I have the grandkids with me, they all have their favorite drinks, and we all know Starbucks drinks that aren't coffee are pretty expensive. But we use coupons from the American Casino Guide and from Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor coupon book. And most of them were buy one, get one free. So, for instance, you know, we would we'd go down to Starbucks, or one of us would go to Starbucks in the morning, and we would get the coffee and maybe croissants. Sometimes we'd get the breakfast, I forget what they call those, protein packs that have hard-boiled eggs, grapes, cheese, you know. We'd have that for a breakfast, and we'd have a lunch. We had coupon for, in the Luxor, Nathan's hot dogs. You know, buy one, get one free. We had one for L.A. Subs. We bought a coupon at Bally's, a Groupon, actually.
Yeah.
Groupon, it was, you get, for $13, you got $20 worth of food at their little deli called Nosh, which was really, it's good. We ate there in February when we were there, and we ate there this time also. And so we had great food. We did eat where we didn't use coupons, though, too, depending, you know, where we were.
Well, we had lunch at the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, right. We liked the Cosmo, and we were over there for the... Between Bally's and the Cosmopolitan, we spent some hours over there. And we like a restaurant called The Henry. And so we had lunch there, which probably cost more than the dinners.
Yeah, it was our second most expensive meal.
Yes,
$55 for two.
Right, and it was lunch. It wasn't dinner or anything special. It had their touch. I like, when I'm out there, I like to get all the Southwestern-type foods I can get, all the Mexican avocado. I love avocado, so everything I can get that I don't get at home or around here so much, I like to get there. So that's just an example of how we did that. I really had planned, I thought we might be spending more than we actually did.
Before you came into the studio, I was talking about the Bally's Lobby Bar, and how did it strike you?
Oh, I'm glad to see the lobby bars are returning. You know, at one time, they were very big. In the Rat Pack era with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, there were lobby bars just about everywhere, and celebrities would entertain there. And then they just did away with almost all of them. And you could sit there, you could drink, and you didn't even have to get a drink. You could get a Perrier or a Dom Perignon, or not Dom, what's the other one we drink?
Pellegrino.
Yeah, San Pellegrino water, yeah.
You're talking, you got champagne on your mind.
I know. But you could sit there and watch the entertainment for the whole evening or whenever. But the lobby bars are making a comeback. We were so excited to see the one at Bally's. Very nice. Almost everybody has them now again.
Well, the Luxor has the Public House. That's new, but I wouldn't call that a lobby bar.
No, that's not a lobby bar, no. But we also had a coffee service in both our rooms. So, you know, that was the first cup of coffee every day.
Well, when you say both our rooms, you mean our room at Bally's?
Well, the room at Bally's and the room at
Luxor.
It really helped having the fridge and the coffee bar.
Also, I want to give you a little debate question here. Is it Luxor or Luxor?
Well, I talked to the natives, and either one is correct.
Yeah.
You could say Luxor, which a lot of people do and a lot of employees do, or you can say Luxor, which a lot of employees and a lot of other guests do.
A bartender told us that at Luxor that at staff meetings, different administrators will talk about it and use one phrase or the other, Luxor or Luxor.
Right, you know, right.
So they can't agree either. Janie, I want to give you all the credit with you taking the time to study those coupon books. That's American Casino Guide and also Anthony Curtis's rewards book that you get, Las Vegas Advisor. But that idea of using coupons to eat at a great discount on the last day, which will be part two of our podcast in 2 weeks, we'll talk about that. Took us to Fremont Street, and we had great gambling success and a ton of fun. And really, I wouldn't have gone down there if you hadn't encouraged us. Let's get down there and use these coupons.
Oh, right. We hadn't gone to Fremont probably in many years because we're just too busy. It is a little out of the way, and we don't stay there overnight. So, but we hadn't been there, and I wanted to go there, and I saw all these coupons in the both books to have buy one drink, get one free, have a free round of drinks, $10 free slot play at four or five casinos. And I thought, and they have changed it a little bit down there. There's some new hotels, some of the other ones closed, and I wanted to look at them. So that's what we did.
So again, we'll be talking about the gambling on Fremont Street in part two, not today's podcast, but I will be coming back after Janie departs to talk about the craps play that I used on the strip and get into some details about that with crap stock. So, hey, once again, Janie, thanks for your input. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I never get tired of talking about Vegas. And I will add that I wore my sandals almost every day, and I wore capri pants. I mean, it was that warm, no jacket. That 69 and full sun was beautiful.
Yeah, and we came back to ice and snow, which kind of intensifies that feeling. All right, thank you. If you follow our podcast, I have mentioned several times that Janie's a fantastic swimmer. You know, I swim, but she's really a swimmer. And she did ask about pools being open. The Bally's pool and the Luxor pool were not open, but any M Life property, you know, Luxor's M Life, the MGM had one pool that was open, and they said we could go there to show our Luxor room key and we would not be charged. So it was possible to swim in that 68, 69 degree weather if we chose to, but you know, we were just so busy, we chose not to swim, which is unusual because when Janie wants to swim, hey, we're swimming. But I was actually in a hot tub on Thanksgiving at my daughter's home. She has a pool too, but I didn't get in that because she didn't heat it up. But that was a nice experience. I want to talk also today, we're going to talk craps talk, and we're going to save to part two our experience of attending a Golden Knights hockey game, because staying at the Luxor or Mandalay Bay or Excalibur or New York, New York, there's some advantages if you're going to see a hockey game, and we'll talk about what I mean by that. So hang on, we'll be coming right back for craps talk. That's that old Don Williams hit, hey, download it for a buck, whatever. And Eric Clapton brought it back and made a hit out of it. Living on Tulsa Time. Boy, I heard it at Ellis Island. Hey, you know what? I didn't mention, I wasn't aware that Ellis Island was getting groups in, but now they have entertainment? Boy, what doesn't that place have? Well, things were going so well for us, and I was going to place $200 of my craps win on Kansas City in the NFL. They were playing the Los Angeles Rams, and of course they both have wonderful records. And I talked to my son Jeff, and he's a fantasy football guy. You know how those people are. They know everybody's names in the NFL, including a general manager. So he said, no, that's not a good bet. And I said, well, what's a better bet? And he said, well, consider the over at 63.5. I said, well, that's a lot of points. He goes, no, that's the best bet the way I see it. So I did. So I placed a $200 bet on the over at Bally Sports, and by the third quarter, I won. And, of course, you know, you got to pay the VIG, so it was a $180 win. Ah, my, that was nice. So I was starting to think, and this is always dangerous, boy, I'm just unbeatable, and, you know, and craps and video poker and now sports books. So the next morning, I went over to the Bellagio to play some high-stake craps. That means at a $25 table. And I was talking about playing smart craps. And if you follow my thinking with craps, oh, I rail against the certainty of smart craps because you can lose so much money so fast, and I consider myself a low roller. But, you know, again, I was kind of like feeling invincible, which always is dangerous. And what is smart craps? Well, it's a pass line play, you know, so you're going to play the pass line at a $25 table. That's $25. And then you're going to play not full odds behind it necessarily, but you're going to put some money behind it, you know, maybe $7,500 depending on what the established point is. And then you're going to make two come bets at $25, and you're going to put the same kind of odds behind those come bets on top of those come bets. Boy, you could see, you know, if the table's hot and you're hitting your points and your come bets, you're going to make money real fast. But if it's not, wow. And for me, and I was up maybe $700 in just a couple of days in Vegas. Didn't take long to go underneath that because the table wasn't hot. And I thought, damn it, I didn't follow my own advice, you know, about coming over here and playing smart craps. And that's not what I like to do, but I did it and I learned a lesson. But fortunately for me, a guy at the other end of the table got hot and he brought me back. And I didn't get even, but I got close to even. Yes, my prayer. Lord, help me get back to even money. And I think I was within $25, and I said, you know, I got to get the hell out of here. I'm not going to go another shooter with this smart crab stuff. Now, I know before you write me a letter, hey, give us a call. I know smart craps in terms of the math of the game, thousands of hours of play, is the best way to play the pass line. You know, you're going to take full odds, if possible, behind your bets and put full odds on top of those two come bets. But boy, oh boy, that's thousands of hours. In the short term, you know, a two-hour game, you could just get destroyed. And, you know, the third day of our vacation, that's not something I wanted to do. So I learned my lesson. I didn't play smart craps the rest of the time. So what did I do? Well, we have a lot of fun to talk about you when we went on Fremont Street. And, you know, you heard me talk about 3-2-1. And the idea of 3-2-1 is not just the odds behind the pass line, but you're going to bank a $22 inside bet at a $5 table. And if you get three hits, that's $7 each hit. You can come down on your bets, and then you just can't lose any money. We call that owning the table. But I couldn't do that because it was $10 tables, and, you know, what am I going to do? So I decided the rest of my time at Bally's, what I would do rather than take any risk at all is any great risk at all, I would go with the 6-8 strategy. And that's a strategy that involves timing, you know, pressing, timing, and getting out. And so I thought, well, I'll put $12 on the 6 and $12 on the 8, and I'll challenge myself to stay on for three hits. So one hit would pay $14 on a $12 6 or a $12 8. And three hits would be $42. You know, hey, that's an old expression. Ain't hey, baby. So that was my plan. And so I said, okay, I'll stick for four hits. And the rest of the week I did, and I was up. I kept winning just on a 6-8. And I've heard people talk about that, but I seldom just play the 6-8. But that's what I did because I knew I was going to have another 4 days of craps at the Luxor and Fremont Street if we went down there. So I thought, well, I'm gonna come out of Bally's ahead, and I'm glad I finally took my own advice, and that's what I did. But boy, I could have lost everything at the Bellagio. If it hadn't been for that one hot shooter, I'd have been in a heap of trouble, my friend. And that's just something that you should think about. You know, it's nice to play smart craps when you're way ahead and the table's hot, but when you're walking to a high stakes game and you know, the table's not filled with chips. The racks aren't filled with chips. Man, that's a dangerous way to play. And I didn't take my own advice. So that brings us to the end of podcast 53, part one. And we're not going to finish with our regular music today because part two in 2 weeks will be the rest of our trip to Las Vegas, and there's quite a bit to talk about. The four nights at the Luxor, our 6 or 8 hour stay on Fremont Street, and he had great success there, and our attendance at a Golden Knights hockey game. My goodness. So I can't wait to share that with you in a couple of weeks. But thanks for listening today. Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday.
I left Oklahoma driving in a Pontiac, just about to lose my mind. I was going to Arizona, maybe on to California, where the people all live so fine. My baby said I was crazy, my mama called me lazy, I was gonna show them all this time.
You do here.